No doubt one of the most famous stories in all of Scripture, probably one of the most beloved stories as well, maybe for many of us, even a favorite. Daniel chapter 3, the setting is Babylon. It's a difficult time for God's people. Judgment has come, punishment has come, exile has come. Jerusalem, the temple has been destroyed. God's people have been destroyed, though not completely, never completely. Nebuchadnezzar is the king of Babylon, and he has brought back to his kingdom sort of the best and the brightest of the Jews. In Daniel chapter 1 and verse 3, we read this: the king ordered the chief of his court officials to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. Enter into the story then, four young men. Daniel is one. He, of course, takes prominence throughout the book. And then the other three, our three this morning. Their names are Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. We know them better by their Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 90 feet high, 90 feet wide, set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned all his officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up, and they all came. Verse 4. The herald loudly proclaimed, "This is what you're commanded to do, O peoples, nations, and men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, harp, pipes, all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." Therefore, as soon as they heard the music playing, all the people from all the nations, men of every language, fell down and worshiped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to the king, "O king, live forever. You have issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the sound of music playing must fall down, worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. There are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you've set up." Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men were brought before the king, and the king said to them, "Is it true that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I've set up? Now, when you hear the sound of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you've set up." Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. His attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent, the furnace so hot, that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, O king. He said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the fourth looks like a son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and all the officials crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble. For no other god can save in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. What an amazing story. Still a wonder to read. We've heard it. We've learned of it since early Sunday school days. And yet still, to read it and to consider it again brings this sense of awe and wonder. Wow! What a story. You know this already. You don't need me to tell you or elaborate for you. Sometimes life throws us in the fire. The expression goes like this, from the frying pan to the fire. Sometimes life simply takes us from one problem to another bigger problem to still more and still bigger problems before even any single problem has been solved. It's the frying pan to the fire to more fire to bigger fire. We maybe call it a difficult season. We maybe speak of it like that. It's a difficult season in my life right now because of the things I'm going through and having to deal with. Sometimes we maybe call it a storm that's raging in my life. For us as Christians, Bible readers, the picture is that of the disciples on the sea when the sudden storm comes. The wind is howling, the waves pounding against us, tossed about, no control, feeling that we're about to be capsized. The storm's raging and we feel that we're really in the fight of our lives. This again, it's often one thing on top of the other. When it rains, it pours, right? There's no relief or reprieve in sight. The forecast of our lives, storms with the chance of more and worse storms. We call it a time of testing. Probably a bit of an exaggeration, but we'll sometimes compare ourselves with Job during this time. Like Job, I've lost everything. Like Job, things couldn't possibly be worse for me. Like Job, I'm wondering, what in the world is God doing? Why mostly isn't he doing anything to help me? Sometimes we simply call it by the form in which the fire appears to us. It's cancer. It's sickness, it's divorce, it's unemployment, it's bankruptcy, it's betrayal, it's tragedy, it's death, it's loss, it's abuse, it's neglect, it's loneliness. Doesn't matter the analogy you use, bottom line, life gets hard, there's trouble, and we feel the pressure of it, we feel the stress of it. Sometimes life throws us in the fiery furnace. This might sound very demoralizing. I don't mean for it to be that. It's just the truth. Here it is. You're in the fire now, or you will be later. Doesn't that just sound terrible? Hey, thanks, Pastor, for the good word today. We surely appreciate it. I remember a few years back praying. We were with a group, and we sort of divided up into just small prayer circles, and mentioned prayer requests and things that we wanted the group to pray for us, for each of us individually. And I remember just, I had nothing. Everything was fine, and there was some in the circle with very real needs. They were in transition. There were problems at home with work. They didn't know what they were going to do. And for me, there was just, everything was settled, and everything was good, and I had nothing to pray for. So it's just sort of a generic, just pray that God would bless and that God would do good and work good in my life. And I remember, this was a number of years ago, and I remember still to this day, the guy that prayed for me, and it was something along the lines of that there might not be trouble now, but there will be. It was just sort of, hey, hold on a minute. What is it that you just prayed for me? Praying 101, don't pray trouble on somebody. Pray deliverance from the trouble for them. But he was right, wasn't he? There's going to be trouble. Even Jesus said there's going to be trouble. And his prayer wasn't just, oh, he's going to be in trouble. It's just, Lord, when the trouble comes, all the things we're praying for each other now, that God, you would help and you would protect and you would see through and you would encourage and you would deliver. And so the prayer was good, and I remember it as such, but it just caught my attention. I remember just sort of chuckling at the time as he prayed. There might not be trouble, but there's going to be soon. It's true. Not meant to be doom and gloom preaching. It's the truth. You're in it. You're in the fire today, or you will be in it someday. So for us this morning, lessons from the story of three young men who ended up in the fire. Number one, you can have a faith that's greater than the fire. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 16 begins perhaps one of my most favorite portions of Scripture. Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to defend ourselves. If we're thrown into the fire, the God we serve is able to save us from it and rescue us from your hand. But even if he doesn't, we want you to know, O king, we're not going to serve your gods and we're not going to worship the image of gold you have set up. It's interesting, some would claim this to be a lack of faith, this if God doesn't declaration. I know God can heal me, but if he doesn't, whoa, you can't say that. You're not supposed to say that. You just messed up. God can't heal you now because you just said, but if he doesn't, come on, brother, come on, sister, you have to believe. You have to have faith. There can't be any if he doesn't, not with real faith. Real faith is only he will. Though I appreciate and would encourage even that measure of confidence in God. May all of us always and only have the faith that approaches God with that kind of confidence. I believe that rather than a lack of faith, Scripture reveals to us that this if he doesn't declaration, it's in fact the greatest measure of faith. This confidence, this trust, this belief, this commitment, faith in and faithfulness to God. It doesn't matter what God does for me right now. It doesn't matter whether God saves me from the fire or meets me in the middle of it. It doesn't matter how God delivers or even if God delivers. It doesn't matter if God delivers me now or if God delivers me later. Nothing of the trouble, nothing of the difficulty, nothing of the fiery furnace changes this, my declaration of faith. My God is able, and I'm going to serve him and him only. I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to cave into the pressure and the stress. I'm not going to give in to the fear and the worry. No matter what God does, no matter how God does, no matter when God does, no matter even if God does, I'm not going to let my faith be compromised by the fire. You can have a faith that's greater. The fire doesn't have to influence your trust in Jesus. The storm doesn't have to make you question His love for you, His care for you. The time of testing doesn't have to make you question His power, not His righteousness, not His justice, not His goodness. It doesn't. Because you can have a faith that's greater. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. Thrown into the fire, thrown before the fire, threatened with the fire. There can be a tendency to worry, to be afraid, to be anxious. There can be a tendency to compromise. There can be a tendency to doubt, to question things about God that we really shouldn't be questioning. And I want to be careful here because we go through difficult times and questions arise. And I understand that, and I never want to diminish your right to ask a question. But can I encourage you, dear brother, dear sister, there are some things about God that we ought not to question, no matter the difficulty that we're in. God's love for you. I want to be careful because unless I miss my guess, many of us have been there. I'm not even sure if God loves me. 66 books that tell you, if nothing else, that God loves you. With an everlasting love. God's care for me. God's watchful eye over me. God's promises spoken over me and to me. Do you understand when you begin to question God's word, you begin to question whether or not God is a liar or a truth teller. You begin to question, and I'm just going to challenge you this morning. I just want to push you a little bit. I'm not sure we should ever be questioning that. He is the God who cannot lie. He is the God who loves us forever. He's the God who is always with us. I'm not sure if God's with me. I'm not sure if God knows where I am. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. His word is true. I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. I want to be very careful. We need to consider carefully the questions that we're asking. God, why aren't you working? All of us have that question. We'll ask that question until heaven comes. But God, why don't you love me anymore? I'm not sure, but that we've just crossed the line. Do you understand what I'm saying? I want to be careful because life throws us in the fire and our minds can go crazy on us. And the devil can play all kinds of tricks. Maybe sometimes we need the reminder that God loves us. Hey, God loves you this morning. God's with you. God cares for you. Sometimes we maybe need the reminder of it. I'm just not sure we should ever be questioning whether or not He ever loves us or still loves us, with us. Promises that He's spoken. Thrown into the fire, there can be a tendency to let the flames go out on our faith. But it doesn't have to be that way. You can have a faith that's greater. You can have a faith that stares down the worry and the fear and the anxiousness, that boldly declares to every doubt and to every question, "My God is able." You can have a faith purified by the fire rather than ruined by it. A faith ignited rather than extinguished. The fire only serving to make you more committed, more faithful, and full of faith. I'm not going to bow. Storm, I'm not going to bow. Time of testing, I'm not going to bow. Fiery furnace, I'm not going to bow. I'm going to serve God and God alone because He's able. You can have a faith that's greater than the fire. My prayer is that's exactly the kind of faith that you would have. Let me help you here quickly this morning. Give you two portions of Scripture to help you in your faith. Wow, so much that we could say about faith, right? So many dimensions, so many different aspects to faith, so much involved in growing our faith and having a greater faith. Faith deserves an entire series of messages. It's not really fair that we try to condense it to these two portions of Scripture, but these two are good, and my prayer is that the Spirit would make this to come alive inside of you. Use it to begin a good work in you of growing your faith so that it's greater. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. You know it. You'll know it as I begin to say it. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You need a greater faith? You find it in His word. In the pages of Scripture, you get to learn more about God. You get to experience more of Him. You get to hear from Him. Remember, God's Word, it's the living Word. By it, He breathes life into you, and by it, He will breathe life into your faith so that your faith can be greater. James chapter 2, verse 14. What good is it, dear friends and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. You need a greater faith? Find it by putting your faith into action. Find the greater faith by putting the faith you have now into action. You want bigger muscles? Take the muscles you have now into the gym and begin to lift those weights and watch as the muscles you have now begin to develop and begin to get bigger and become greater, and watch as you're able to do more and more because you've taken the muscles you had, you brought them into the gym, and you begin to exercise. You begin to put those muscles into action and into work, and the muscles begin to grow and develop more. Faith demonstrated in activity is a living faith. And because it's a living faith, it can then be a growing faith, a greater faith. So watch this. How do you have a greater faith? Well, I believe all of us in the room would have a faith to believe that God is the healer. So put your faith to action and go pray for someone who's sick. Call them up on the phone. Go and visit their home. In the name of Jesus, take the anointing oil and put it on their head and pray, speak, declare their healing in the name that is above every other name, and walk from that place believing that in the name of Jesus, they've been made well. But Pastor, I'm not the pastor. But Pastor, I don't know that I can do that. Put your faith into action and watch then as your faith becomes greater. You believe that God is your provider. So go give something to the poor. Oh, but Pastor, I can't. I just can't afford it. I wish I could, but I can't. Listen, James says what you have is really a dead faith because you can't put it into action. If you can't put your faith into action, your faith is dead. It's not alive. If you have a dead faith, you can never have a growing faith. It's dead. And if you can't have a growing faith because it's a dead faith, you'll never have a greater faith. So you believe God's the provider? Go and be a blessing. Go and live a life of generosity. You believe that He's the Savior? Go tell a sinner that He is. You believe that He works all things for good? Stop worrying about all things. You believe He answers prayer? So pray big and pray bold. Put your faith into action. It'll be a living faith. And if it's a living faith, it can be a growing faith. And a growing faith can become a greater faith. Immerse yourself in God's Word So by the hearing and the reading and the studying and the meditating on it, you can have faith. You can have, listen to me, if you're in the fire, remember for when you get to the fire, you can have a greater faith. Number two, you can meet with Jesus in the fire. Isn't this good? King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet. Weren't there three men that we tied up? And they replied, certainly, O king. He said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like the son of the gods. This is a great story, and for sure, wow, the ending. But to me, this might be the best part. Wait a minute. We threw three men in, but I see a fourth. Can I let you to know this morning, the devil, he's always, all the time, echoing the king's words. Wait a minute. I thought we were just going after Donna. But it's not just Donna that I see in the fire. I see a second man, and he looks like the Son of God. Wait a minute. I thought we were just going after Mike and Tampa's marriage. But it's not just two I see in the fire. I see a third, and he looks like the Jesus that defeated us all at the cross of Calvary. Wait a minute, I thought we were just going after the Tanner family. Do we have a furnace big enough for eight? A family with six kids, maybe do we assume they have enough trouble already? Let's just, no. Well, I thought we would, I see nine. Where did this ninth one come from? This Son of God that stands in the midst of the fire with us. The fire might be big and it might be hot, but it can't. It doesn't change this. Isaiah 43, what the Lord says. He who created you, who formed you. Listen, what the Lord says. Fear not, I've redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. You ready? What the Lord says. Listen to what the Lord says. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they'll not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. What the Lord says. Since the Lord wants us quiet this morning in the fire, near the fire, considering we might soon be in the fire, our tendency is to talk. The fire, it's bad. Oh, the fire, it's burning me up. Come on, brother, let me tell you all about the fire I'm in. Come on, sister, let's just have a few minutes where I can let you know how terrible the fire is. It's hot, hot, hot. We're not allowed to say shut up in our family. So we'll assume it of God as well. He tells us, though, shouts to us this morning, be quiet. Stop talking and listen. Listen to this. Listen to me, what the Lord says, Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. I believe this is true, a great lesson from Hebrews 13. We need to listen to God before we speak. We tend to speak first. We speak doubt and fear and worry and anxiousness. We speak all about the trouble. We speak all about the storm. We describe so well the fire and the terror of it and the trouble of it. We're so good at talking before we've listened. Hebrews 13 presents a great picture, though, if we would flip that around and if we would listen first, our talk would be different. What the Lord says, Hebrews 13 and verse 5, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we've listened. Doctor, you're saying what? This is what I've got. This is the medicine. Right. I'm going to listen before I start to, I don't know how I'm going to survive. No. I'm going to listen before I talk. I'm going to listen to what the Lord says. Never leave you. Never forsake you. Now that I've listened, I can talk. Hebrews 13 and verse 6 tells me exactly what I say. So we say, with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man, what can anyone do to me? Do you understand this morning? If you listen first, boss tells you you're fired. If you listen first, banker tells you there's no money. If you listen first, doctor tells you you're in real trouble. Your family's a mess. Your marriage is a mess. Everything around you falling apart, inside, outside, everywhere you look, there's trouble. There's the storm. There's the time of testing. You're smack dab in the middle of the fiery furnace. If you listen first, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. It'll change the way you talk. I will say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I'll not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? This morning there are 5 points to the message and we're going to hustle. I believe the Lord wants you to hear all of it, but maybe especially some of us need to hear this. Even in the fire, you can meet with Jesus, because in the fire, he's with you. I pray that the fourth man meets you this morning. And though maybe there's a fire that rages around you, he would ignite the fires of revival inside you. He can do that. Do you understand me, dear brother, dear sister? In the middle of the fire, you can be on fire for Jesus. Because in the fire, he's with you and he's speaking to you. You can sense his presence. You can feel his touch. It's interesting to consider it this morning. We're Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego here today. I wonder what they would count as the climax of the story. Out of the fire, delivered from the flames, or maybe is it this? Walking in Nebuchadnezzar's fiery furnace with Jesus. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, tell us about that time you walked out of the fire. Walked. Oh, you mean that time I met with Jesus in the middle of the fire? I wonder where they here today, and we were to ask them, I wonder how they would answer. Did you want to leave the fire, or did Jesus tell you you had to go? Trouble, difficulty, storm, fire, it doesn't matter how you call it. Listen to me. I don't say this insensitively to what you're going through. Doesn't matter how you call it. It doesn't matter that you're in the middle of it. Because even there, you can meet with Jesus. Number three, you can walk out of the fire. It's the miracle and the message of the story, isn't it? A wonder-working, miracle-performing God who not only walks with us in the fire, but in fact has the power as well to walk us out of it unharmed. We believe that, don't we? We believe that our God is the healer, that he's the provider, that he makes a way where there is no way, that there's nothing impossible, there's nothing too difficult for him. We believe that he is able to do far more than we could ever ask or imagine. We believe that he is able to save us from the fire. So we ask him to. We pray that he would, and we believe in him that he will, because he is the God who is able to save us from the fire. We don't deny it. We're not ashamed of it. We're not intimidated to claim it. Deliverance, salvation, healing, provision, protection, because our God is able to save us from the fire. So today we declare, I am healed in the name of Jesus. And it's not weird. It's not odd. It's not out of place. It's not pie in the sky thinking. It's not wishful thinking. It's not hyperactive optimism. It's not foolish thinking. It's a declaration that comes from a faith that believes our God is able to save us and deliver us, walk us out of the fire. We claim today, we declare it today, our deliverance, our rescue, our help in time of trouble. Because our God, it's the truth. He's able to save us from the fire. You might be in the middle of it this morning. It doesn't matter how you call it. It doesn't matter that you're in the middle of it, because Jesus is able to save you from it. Oh, but Pastor, you don't understand. Everything is against me. No. Jesus is able to walk you out of the fire unharmed. No. But Pastor, you don't understand. The doctor has said, and there is no cure. There is nothing that can be done. No. Jesus is able to walk you out of the fire unharmed. I want you to remember, believe today, you can have a faith greater than the fire. You can meet with Jesus in the fire. All that's good to help you sort of survive and thrive while you're there in the middle of it. But in receiving that, don't forget to receive this. Our God is able to save us from the fire. I'm here to tell you this morning, the fire of cancer, He can walk you out of it unharmed. The fire of sickness, He can walk you out. Marshall, God can walk Marianne out of the fire that she's been thrown into. The fire of depression, the fire of addiction. I don't know, maybe someone in the room. The Lord can walk you out of the fire of addiction, depression, loneliness, fear, worry, anxiousness. He can walk you out of the fire. Whatever the fire, I wish I knew, because I would name it one by one. I wish I knew your story. I wish I knew what you were going through. I would call it out this morning, because it doesn't matter the fiery furnace, whatever it is the devil has thrown you into, the Lord can walk you out of it unharmed. It's really even better in verse 26. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. All the officials crowded around them, saw the fire not harm their bodies. Come on. Nor a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched. And this is ridiculous now. There was no smell even of fire on them. Unharmed, not a hair singed, not a part of the robe scorched, not even the smell of the fire. Do you understand? God's able to save you from the fire, that you come out looking like you've never even been around a fire. God is able to heal you without the report in hand. No doctor would ever believe that you were ever sick. God's able to restore your marriage without the story being told. Nobody would ever believe your marriage was ever in trouble. God's able to help and deliver and rescue and renew and revive and provide, protect and heal. He's able to walk you out of the fire so that you are unharmed. Not even the smell of the fire on you. I wonder for some this morning, because He hasn't, maybe you've begun to think God won't. Great message, Pastor, for them. I just think my time is past. God hasn't done it. God hasn't walked me out of the fire. I just don't believe He's going to now. I'm going to be honest, I believe this morning the Lord speaks very specifically to you. He's the God who delivers His children from the fire, who brings them miraculously, supernaturally, divinely, unexplainably out of the fire. And I believe the reminder is so that you might believe in Him today to save you from the fire. I believe His desire is for that, because His desire is to do that for you today. What else would we expect from a story where God saves His children from the fire? What else would we expect than that today God would save us, His children, from the fire? I don't know how. Maybe before you leave, tomorrow, later this week, I don't know when. I'm saying this sincerely. I believe it with all my heart. God wants to save us from the fire. I believe it with all my heart. God's going to do something in some of us today or this week. And I pray that when He does it, there will come the immediate recognition. God has just walked me out of the fire. I never saw it coming. I even, truth be told, had started to doubt. I'm not even sure I was believing fully that He would. But God has just stepped into my life and walked me out. Can I encourage you, would you believe Him to do that for you today? Why not you? Why not you? I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're dealing with. But why not you that today God would walk out of the fire just like He did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego back in the day? We have to be done. Number four, because of the fire, God can be glorified in your life and through your life. Verse 28 and 29, Nebuchadnezzar, the pagan king, begins his dialogue, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." The Westminster Catechism asks the question, what's the chief end of man? And provides then the answer, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. We live our lives, we exist to glorify God. That through us, the words we speak, the things we do, through it all, in everything, God would be glorified. The fire is troublesome. It's scary, it's difficult, it hurts, and it's hot. So I don't mean to diminish or make light of it, but I think oftentimes we get way too selfish in the fire, even completely selfish. Our lives there all of a sudden consumed solely by the concern for our comfort rather than God's glory. Living for God, for His glory, we're fine with that as long as it's nice and neat and controllable and comfortable. Everything good in my life, I'm fine with the message encouraging me to make sure God gets glory from all that is fine. All of a sudden, I'm in the fire. I'm not thinking anything about God's glory. I'm only thinking about God getting me out and why it's taking Him so long to do exactly that. Can I ask you this question? Quickly this morning, it might seem a bit odd. It's the only way I could think to ask of it. What if God getting glory from you costs you? Are you still in? Chief end of men, to glorify God, to enjoy Him forever. What if it hurts? What if it hurts God getting glory from you? What if it involves a time of testing? What if it takes a storm? What if it means a fiery furnace? God, I want to glorify You. What we mean by that is, God, I want the promotion. You give me the promotion. I'll come to church and tell everybody, wow, God gave me the promotion. Isn't God good? I'll make sure I lead by example. I'll tell everybody in the workplace, oh, God gets the glory for this. I don't deserve the promotion. God, I want You to get glory from my life. Side point, that means I need You to give me the promotion. What if God comes and says, I'm going to get glory from You, but I'm going to get it by taking the job from you? Are you still in? Is it still God get glory from me? God get glory from me. What it means is, really, side note, God, I want to live to be 100, not one day in the hospital. I'll tell everybody. 100 years old, I'll walk my way up to this pulpit. I've not spent one day in the hospital. To God be the glory. He is the healer. He's the helper. He's the provider. God, get glory from me. Side note, this is what I really mean. Keep me in perfect health. What if God says, I'm going to get glory, but it's going to come by way of physical testing, like you couldn't even imagine? Are you still in? Is it still your prayer? God, get glory from me. Can I encourage you? I think it's the only good that can come from the fire, but it may very well be the main thing, that through it, God's glorified through you. You see how that changes the narrative? The fire that was so harsh, so difficult, so troublesome, now becomes a reason for thanking him. God, I thank you for the fire. At the time, it's terrible. But God, I thank you for the fire because through the fire, you were glorified in the lives of my kids. God, I thank you for the fire because through the fire and what you did in me and through me, glorified in me, glorified through me. Exalted, lifted up. God, dare we ever get to the place? God, I'm glad for the fire because through it you were glorified. Finally, because of the fire, God can prepare and position you for promotion. Verse 30, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Sometimes it's through the fire that God positions you for the blessing. The blessing that you pray for. Don't we pray that? God, I pray that you bless me. Pray that you bless my family. Can I ask you, what if the blessing's on the other side of the fire? Are you still praying for the blessing? Can I encourage you? You still want to pray for the blessing. God, I'm praying for a fresh anointing. What if it's on the other side of the fire? Remember the prayer of Jabez? God, I pray that you would enlarge my territory. What if it's on the other side of the fire? God, I want to do more. I want to be more. God, I want to be faithful in the little that you've given so that you can give more and more and more. God, I want you to use me. I want you to work in me. I want you to save the lost. I want you to heal the sick. I want to be used of you to cast out the demon. God, work. God, do. What if it comes on the other side of the fire? Are you still praying that? The desire of your heart, the promotion that you seek, it may take the fire to prepare you for that. And it may be the fire that God uses to position you for that. You're in the fire now. You're in it today, or you will be in it someday. The message this morning, if I could just say it this way, don't be intimidated by the fire. You can have a faith that's greater. You can meet with Jesus in the fire. You can walk out of the fire. Don't be intimidated. Don't let the Nebuchadnezzar in your life bully you with the threat of a fiery furnace. If you're in the fire this morning, I pray that today you have a greater faith. I pray that today, before you even leave this place, you meet with Jesus, even smack dab in the middle of the fire you're in. And listen, I believe it with all my heart. I believe God's going to save you from the fire. I just believe it. I believe it in the sense of not just you say it enough and you begin to think, oh, God's going to do it. I sense it as a prompting in my spirit from the Spirit. The fiery furnace is about to end for some of you in this room. Miraculously, divinely, supernaturally, God's going to walk you out because He is the God who saves His children from the fire. Don't be intimidated. Say it like this. Don't despise the fire. Because of the fire, God can get glory in you and through you. Because of the fire, God can prepare you and position you for the promotion He's ordained for you. Don't be intimidated. And if you're in it, don't despise the fire. God will turn around and make this that seems so terrible be so good. It's true. We believe it, don't we? That in all things, come on now, can we say it? We're not changing scripture. We're not manipulating. We're just saying it in the context of the message this morning. In the fire, God works all things good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Father, and I pray this morning.